Welcome to the Keep Idaho Red Radio Show, where you'll hear from national, statewide, and local Republican leaders about the issues that are most important to Idahoans today. Now, please welcome Tom Luna and Vic Miller.
Welcome back to Keep Idaho Red Radio with Tom Luna and Vic Miller. And we're visiting with now with Debbie Critchfield, the recently elected state superintendent of public instruction for Idaho. And Debbie, congratulations on the big win. It was a resounding win in Idaho. And tell us your thoughts since election day.
Well, we've been on a dead run ever since the election ended, and that's a good feeling. I feel that, you know, all the work that was put into it, the travel, meeting with people, sharing a message that had broad support, really was reflected in the final results.
And you traveled all over the state for over a year, every nook and cranny. I heard from even other campaigns, nobody was working as hard as Debbie Critchfield, and no campaign was run better.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, one of the things that I said initially to my campaign team, to my family, and really to anybody that was a supporter, that nobody would outwork me. You know, we may not know what the results are when it came time for the primary, but I would take some pride and ownership that we talked to people, we got out, we wanted to run a little bit of a traditional campaign that was not simply social media focused, but talking to people. There's a novel idea.
What are some of the things you heard from voters as you prepared for November 8th?
That education is valued in our state, but what we're missing is the connection of what our kids are learning to how it prepares them. And how are we developing a talent pipeline? Do our kids know, are they able to read right at the beginning level so that we can continue to do that? I mean, we're looking at a destination, which is this preparation for life. And there's milestones along the way that we need to reach. That includes being able to read and being able to do basic math and financial literacy, et cetera.
So you also visited with a lot of educators, teachers in rural Idaho and across the state. What were you hearing from teachers and administrators and educators?
That they have felt that there wasn't a voice at the state level, particularly in our rural communities. And having raised my children in a rural public school and being involved in agriculture, I can relate to that feeling. And so for me to come and be able to say, hey, whoa, when we're talking about money and we're talking about policies and decisions, what does that look like outside of our most populous areas?
When you look at the legislature that's going to be here in just a matter of weeks, you've got a budget to prepare, you've got a legislative agenda, and you're going to enter your first year of office with historic amounts of funding, and decisions have to be made on how to spend it. For example, last September, in the one-day special session, the legislature set aside an additional $430 million just for education on top of tax cuts and tax rebates. But how that $400 million is going to be spent was to be left to the next legislature and to you when you come into office in January. I'm sure you've had some thoughts. I'm sure people have given you well over $400 million worth of ideas on how to spend those dollars. But what are some of your thoughts?
I think that there are some areas that we haven't been able to really drive because we haven't had the money to do that. And I'm looking again at vocational training, career technical education, how we connect skills with our students. And for me, when I look at this money, it's exciting and it is a great opportunity, but I can think of nothing worse than to look 5 years from now and say, what do we do with that? The money without a plan is not going to get us to the goals and the outcomes that we expect.
Wonderful. And folks, in case you're wondering the background noise, Debbie and I are here in Salt Lake City at the Excellence in Education Conference. There's thousands of educators from across the country, education leaders. Debbie's now one of them, and we're here meeting with folks from 48 different states to learn about some of the things they're doing to improve education. So that's some of the background noise. So, but let's talk a little bit more about Idaho. When you talk to school boards and trying to find, you're a former school board member, finding that balance between the state's role in education, their constitutional role, and recognizing and respecting the elected folks, school board members, and local control.
I think that looking for that appropriate balance is something that I'm excited about, because I believe that in some cases the state role has been missing, and then in other times it is lopsided where there wasn't enough local control. control. And then in other areas, I've heard from local board members that said, we were looking forward and looking at the state level. Sorry, I got distracted by the doorbells. Anyway, looking for a state leader to say, look, here are problems that we want to take care of. What are the solutions nationally within the state, other districts, and connecting them to the resources that help them make really informed decisions.
How do you identify those best practices happening in one school district or one school in Idaho? Because there's a lot of pockets. How do you identify those best practices and then find ways to scale those or to make have other districts and other schools aware of them and learn from them?
This circles back to what we talked about, me traveling the state like I have over the last 18 months. Because of that very valuable experience, I know where many of those things are, and I'll continue to do that. I'll continue to travel. We'll continue to talk. And then we want to do a matchmaking of sorts. So when we hear a district say, I'm struggling with parent engagement or community engagement, and another district who does that well, we're going to put those people together. And it may not be a one-to-one fit, but how do you take what is working really well in, in Kajah County, and then make that fit for Salmon or for Sandpoint?
Yeah. One of the things that we heard, especially in the primary, was parental involvement and really parents wanting to be heard and empowered and engaged. Share with us some of your thoughts going forward on how to recognize that how do you respond to that?
This was a theme that I heard quite a bit, a frustration. And it's not so much a frustration with the education itself, but the communication and the breakdown of communication and understanding what a process is. And many times parents felt shut out of their local school, or they were unaware that, well, I didn't realize that decision was made, and now who do I talk to share my feelings? And so training and helping our school districts communicate to be very transparent and very open, and how how you put things together right from the get-go. Districts who have a community meeting at 2:00 on a Tuesday, you're not going to get feedback. And so, I understand and feel that frustration. You got to meet parents where they are and then be honest about how you're going to use that information.
Yeah, that's great, great points and great comments. So let's talk about recently you announced some of your staff appointments, a chief of staff and a chief deputy. You've appointed a transition committee. Talk to us about what this next 6-7 weeks looks like before you're inaugurated.
I want to be organized, and we're well on our way there. I think we are the first constitutional office to announce that, and obviously I'm brand new coming into it. However, I want to hit the ground running. We want to be ready right out of the gate, and to do that, you've got to be organized and have a plan. I use that word, a plan. You've got to have a plan. I mean, we've got to, what's the strategy to get us to the outcomes that we want? And that's no different for me taking on this role. One of the things I talked about consistently over the last year and a half, and frankly, I think was one of the key differences between me and my opponent in the general election and the two opponents in the primary, was the fact that I have the experience. It's not going to take me 4 years to figure this job out. I know what we need to do, and I know who the partners are to help me get that done, and we're going to work.
That's the recipe for success right there. One quick thing, it's not talked a lot about when you run for state superintendent, but one role you will play is to serve on the land board. And I'm sure when you went up north, for example, that is something that people are more aware of. So quickly, we had about a minute or so. Talk to us about your role on the land board and some of your focus that you'll take there.
There's no question that this is an area that I'll need to do some quick learning on. Having a background where my husband and I have farmed, and he grew up in a farming community, I do understand what it means to make your living from the land. I will look at ways that we can monetize some of the investments that we already have. How do we balance the public-private? How do we balance the public use requests that we're seeing more and more on state and federal lands? And so there's some work to be done there, but that will be an area that I will take as seriously as I do anything else with the job.
Well, fantastic, folks. We've had the opportunity to visit with Debbie Critchfield, our new elected state superintendent of public instruction. She'll take office in January. Congratulations on that big win, and folks, we'll be right back here on Keep Idaho Red Radio.